This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show, episode 219. It is July 30th, and it's 2019. I was hesitant to turn it off because you're fun to watch dance. Like if I'm
well, the whole room's are shaking.
If I'm being honest, watching you dance is a cheerful activity that I don't want to end. Hey everybody, and what's great too is the way you get your mic set up now, your camera or whatever, it moves when you dance. So it's like
I saw that.
Around.
I was like, I looked over. I'm like, hey, that's not up where it was at. It just didn't move.
It's pretty good.
I gotta get it on the tripod. It's actually just is sitting on the top of the iMac, and this iMac's kind of is like, oh,
it's a little slip sloppy. Yeah,
yeah.
What are you gonna do?
It doesn't like jumping. It doesn't like jumping.
Well, the good news is, everybody, we're back. We're doing a show. It's me, Scott Johnson, and Brian Ibbitt.
Dunaway. Yeah, it's Brian Ibbitt. How's it going? I do a little podcast called Coverville where I play songs that they're ripoffs of good songs.
Had I just had lunch, I think I would be a little smarter right now because I didn't eat today. And I'm starving. Yeah.
Well, if you eat some fish, that's brain food.
I'm so hungry, I can barely stand it. Oh, hi, Nick. Hey, where are you going?
Hi,
oh,
Nick.
Oh, that's fantastic. Have fun. All right. There goes Nick.
Hi,
he's going downtown.
Hi, you said hi, Nick. And the last time I think I've heard you say hi, Nick must have been like 10 years ago because I just heard a man answer that with, what the hell, dad, I'm out. See ya.
He's 19, man. He's old now.
Yeah. Last time I heard it was like, okay, dad, whatever. I'm 11.
He is definitely changed. We keep having this joke around. If we ever do anything at Noah's again, like we did in 2011, I'm going to have him sell candy and drinks again in some little space up there. But it'll be like 20 sitting there going,
I forgot about that. He was selling those Rockstar energy drinks, getting me all jacked up.
Yeah, and I think your kids were selling them with him. They were like hanging out with him up there.
Oh, that's right. They did. They sure did. Yeah. He's like, well, we want to get in on some of this money.
Yeah, they got some sweet cash
money.
Out of that deal. All right. Well, we're not here to talk about money. We're here to talk about video games. And
it all
starts here. You know, it does cost money. You're right about that. Sometimes more than you want to spend. But not this game I'm about to recommend. All right. I think I've discussed it before, but it's been long enough in its development in early access that I feel like it deserves another mention because for whatever reason, this game has just put me in a cool Zen mode and I freaking love it. The game is Astrox Imperium. It is, let's take a look at the screen grab here. Oh, there's nothing playing. Why? There you go. Let's play that. As you can see by the name, Brian, if you are so inclined, it's a game. It's got space in it. It's about space.
It does. It looks like you climb out of your cryopod and enter the void. Is that what's going on there?
Well, you start out in this kind of, this guy's got some dumb overlays. Let me see if I can skip ahead.
See, you got to vet your YouTubes.
Yeah, I don't want the cartoony overlays. All right. So you make yourself a pilot. And you do it in this place where you just choose your name, and then it says, all right, what kind of pilot you want to be, and you can change your face and your helmet and all that. But none of that stuff matters. All that stuff is super superfluous and kind of dumb, to be honest. The face stuff is just pictures of friends of this guy, I think, the guy who makes the game.
You're right. I think we talked about this before because I was like, what's up with those faces?
Yeah, it's weird, but
they're all waxy mold kind of faces. But we're not going
to
criticize.
No, and let's you never have to see them again. You once you're a pilot and you're in your ship, you never see these people.
That's good.
The game is basically if I'm retreading ground, people are like, oh, you've already told us about this game. I know, but I want to talk about how it's been updating and progressing. It is basically Eve Online without the online. And that is to say, like, all of the mining and the missions and the space station stuff and all the story and the go out there and get a bigger ship and a better thing and be a top trader and let's kill those pirates. And, you know, space
wait. And then you went from all this trading and commerce stuff to killing pirates.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yar. You got to kill those pirates. Although I focused mainly on mining and building my empire of money.
Right, right. And occasionally, if you saw a pirate on the way, kill him.
Yeah, basically. And I played this just a little bit ago, about a half an hour ago on the stream. So some of you may have been here to see it briefly anyway. But I really like it a lot. And
this is a team of one, I think we talked about last time.
Yeah, one dude.
Jace Masula.
Yep, one dude made this game. He is some kind of genius man.
Right. On the cover, on the credits page, it's like developed by Jace. Mm-hmm. Publisher, Jace.
Yep.
Funky faces.
And he made
Jason Drag.
He made the first game, which was just called Astrox. This one has got the Imperium added to it. Right. It's a bigger, bolder game than the first one, certainly. The first one, really, really pretty simple. There's a lot more going on in this game, which I think these are good systems he's adding, so I'm not going to complain about it. But you basically just have this ship, which you can control any way you want. You can WASD it if you want to, or you can kind of mouse click and, you know, say, well, I want to go to this asteroid and I want to mine it. And I want to go back to this particular station and sell the stuff I mined. And then I want to craft some things and I want to learn some stuff. There's always like a university in these stations where you can learn stuff.
Yeah.
And then you are better at, you know, making drones that can then help you mine, or drones that will help heal you if you've gotten into a fight or whatever. You can build a fleet. You can buy all these ships. You can get a big old mega ship eventually. But you gotta, you know, you gotta earn like $800 million in credits.
But you gotta earn it.
But that's the gameplay loop. And again, I've talked about it before, but I think it's just coming on so nicely. It's super cheap still.
Yeah.
I want to say it's what? What is it?
It's only $14.99 on Steam right now. It's still early access. It was released on March the 22nd of this past year, 2019. But it's still consider early access. So far, getting very positive reviews.
Mm-hmm. People
like
it.
So looking pretty good. Not a ton of reviews yet, but positive for the ones that are coming through.
Well, again, it's a small game with a small game. The team couldn't be smaller. It's literally a dude.
Right. It's me.
But the music puts me in like a super chill place. The visuals are really relaxing. You can actually speed the game up or slow it down if you prefer a slower or faster pace. It's got great exploration stuff going on. Lots of tech trees.
Does it have a low hum? All my space games have to have a low hum, or I can't get involved.
Kinda, yeah, yeah.
You gotta have that space.
Yeah, they're most of the time. If you zoom up to your ship and get in any kind of proximity, you're hearing it.
Right.
You're hearing all the engine stuff and all that.
Good.
Even though in space you probably wouldn't be able to really hear it.
But. Right. I actually like going to YouTube and occasionally getting some like loops of like Star Trek.
Oh yeah. I got that right here.
Engine noise. I gotta love that.
Yeah, I have here. I'm gonna play it for you. You wanna hear it?
Yeah, do it.
As I've been playing this a lot lately, actually. Here it is. I've been playing this 10-hour loop of this. Whoops. Let me turn it up.
Oh yeah. That's
the stuff. Isn't that great?
So it's got that
has the hum of the engine as well as the people.
Yeah, some little computer processing.
It's all bridge stuff, so you can hear people
processing.
You'll hear a computer in the background going.
And occasionally you can hear a Worf go.
What, just clearing his throat like a Klingon?
Yeah, does. Yeah, yeah. That's all he does.
Yeah. Well, there's that.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think it's cool, and I wanted to re-up it because I think it's coming along very nicely. Also, I'm just, you know, once again, I'm itching so hard for freaking space games that I'm just playing them all again. I want to get wrapped up in these worlds again. I also play a little bit of Masters of Orion today on the stream as well. Oh, also great 4X game, so a little bit different, obviously. But until Rebel Galaxy hits in, what is it, a week and a day or two?
Right.
This is just me burying myself into alternatives until then. I'm really excited about that game. This is for me, and I'm enjoying the hell out of it. So if you're thinking, man, I always liked Eve, but I don't want to play the monthly thing, and I don't want to get ganked in the middle of the trying to do work, you know, like you're out there mining some asteroid and suddenly three pirates come up and kill you. If you're sick of that whole thing, this is probably for you.
Yeah, chill.
It's really chill and just, I don't know. It has all the things I like about a good space game. The tone, the mood, the trippy music, the kind of slower pace to things. Like, it's just, it's what I love.
You know, it really gives me one of the visual things in that game that just satisfies me as well. It's this whole game looks chill to me. Mm-hmm. But watching those contrails on the back of the spaceships.
Yes.
I don't know how realistic that idea that is, other than like some kind of electrical discharge contrails. Those are really cool. This makes me feel, gives it a 3D depth to it. Like, now I know where in space you are.
Do you remember, what's the game? Homeworld. Oh, yeah. Homeworld 1 and 2.
Homeworld.
I feel like those were the first times we got to see that, and I love the effect. Yeah. It's great.
It helps when you're looking at a three-dimensional space that is mostly darkness and void, if you have something like a contrail, so you can kind of visually locate it in space, if you will.
Yeah, it's just cool. It's just a cool look. And
Smart idea.
Should keep
doing it's not
that.
Realistic, because I don't think you really see that in real space. I don't think that
would be real space. Until I get to real space, I don't know what's going on. You know,
I don't know what's going on. They could be doing anything. They could be spitting out glitter out their butts. I don't know.
All right. Speaking of spitting out glitter.
Astrox Imperium.
Imperium. Astrox is spelled A-S-T-E-R-O-X.
Rocks.
And I will say this. He's got a Discord people can sign up for. I got onto it kind of early, and he responds to everything. Just talks to everybody, answers their questions, discusses their ideas. Like, dude is super active with the community. And again, it's just one guy. He's doing the music. He's doing the art. He's doing the animation. He's doing the engine. He's doing the story and the characters and the stuff and the, like, all these complex systems. I don't know how he does it. It's insane to me. All right. Oh, they say in the chat, Doug the Coder says rockets leave a trail. Do they do it in space, though?
That's in our atmosphere. What happens once it gets into outer space?
Yeah, what then? What then? If not who? If now, when? No, wait. Those aren't sayings.
I'm sure we could look it up, but we don't want to. We like speculating. It's much more fun.
Brian's been playing Graveyard Keeper. I have this on Steam, so I'm curious to see what you think of it. What do you think of Graveyard Keeper?
How could I not play Graveyard Keeper? For one thing, it's been on the Xbox Game Pass for a couple of months now, but only available on the Xbox, not the Ultimate, where you get it on the PC. Also, I've had a lot of people suggesting this game to play it, and I've kind of been hanging back because it's one of those, it's kind of a top-down sim. And it looked on the surface to me like a harvest game or something. I was like, okay, so what you're like?
Yeah, it looks like Stardew Valley a little bit at first glance.
Right. Yeah. First glance, but it's not. It's not. So they describe it as an inaccurate medieval cemetery sim, which is the heart of the game, because what you're really trying to do is you're trying to maintain this graveyard as you are the keeper. And you're trying to keep it up to date and kept, because everybody knows graveyards like to go to pot, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So you got some work to do. But that's not the only thing that's going on here, because there's a lot of story. There's a lot of people and NPCs you have to talk to in town to get the resources you need to accomplish your primary goal, which is to be a good graveyard keeper. And I'll tell you, it's kind of weird way it starts off, though. Well, the whole actually, I'll take that back. Not just how it starts off. The whole game is this weird. I can't tell if it's dark humor or if it's just weird. Yeah. I love it.
It's a little bit of both. It's a weird game.
It's a little bit of both. So you start out and you die. You're modern man. You're a modern man, and you're messing with your phone. You die. Not giving anything away here, because that happens literally within the first 2 seconds of the game. But then you're like in this afterlife, and you're given this kind of this loose story about if you want to get back to Earth and get back to your loved one and that kind of thing. You've got to go prove yourself as a graveyard keeper. And you're thinking, okay, modern times. No, you're broadcast back to medieval times.
Yeah, this is like old school, like medieval times, different, somebody else's life, a different thing. And I don't think the game tells you right away. You got to like play through this thing to find out how this is all going to turn out.
This game, this graveyard keeper ain't going to give you nothing. You're going to have to learn all this stuff yourself or search for stuff, because that was one thing that I both hate about Graveyard Keeper and love, because if you want to keep me engaged, keeping those kind of things secret, kind of have to keep exploring to find out what I'm doing exactly, can be very exciting, but also can be very frustrating, because if I get stuck, I'm like, oh, I don't want to get on the internet and look, but I'm gonna.
It's a hard game. It's long and it's grindy.
Yes, it is very grindy. As a matter of fact, when I started, and I've watched other people play it as well, a very common thing to do is to immediately get really far behind on the primary task. The primary task at hand is to be a good graveyard keeper, but you get so off track trying to complete some of these early quests that you kind of ignore your graveyard, and your graveyard has a score. And if in order to advance, if it falls below a certain point, then you have to get it all the way back up. So I was already like, I needed to be a positive five to get to the next level. I need to have a really nice graveyard. And where I was at was like negative 20 by the time I got back to my graveyard after doing some other quest. I was like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
Holy crap. Yeah, and that takes a long time.
That
to get
grave
back.
Lord guy or whoever he is comes and he chews you out grave for Lord. Having crappy, you know.
Yeah. So the pointy hat, you know, one of the pointy hat religious guys, it's the medieval times. So the pointy hat religious guy comes in. He's like, we're watching you. And in order to reopen the church, which is what you want to do, you want to reopen the church, you've got to get the graveyard in order.
Yeah.
And so by doing that, you have to to tend to the graveyard. You have to pull weeds and trees and that kind of stuff. And you also have to keep the graves themselves up. So you have to construct, you have to get resources, and you have to construct nice little places around the graves, and of course place markers and that kind of stuff. You gotta make it look really good. And if you do, you'll get rewarded and they'll open the church up. And if you open the church up, you get to go to the next areas of the game. I didn't get that far because I put in about 6 hours this past week, and that's really not enough to put into Graveyard Keeper to really advance. I even played it 8 hours.
It's pretty big. I probably played 8 or 9 hours as well. And I think the look of it is awesome.
The look is so much fun. Your character really is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And some of the things they have you do, like each night, the socialist donkey, because there's a lot of capitalism references in this game. They're kind of like tongue in cheek. And he comes along and he drops off a body every night, I think at 9 p.m. And you take that body and you can do things to it. Like you can remove skin or a skull and that kind of stuff. If you've advanced your tech tree to that point, if you do that, you're desecrating the body and it will lose value. And so there's a value rating of the dead or the deceased. And if it's got too many bad things to it, if it's got too many bad skulls, red skulls versus white skulls, if it's got too many red skulls, it'll bring down the value of your grave. So you got to walk past your grave and toss it into the river, which, by the way, flows down to the town, which is locked currently for me. And I can only imagine
have piled up corpses down there, right?
Exactly. I can only imagine that I'm going to be paying for all those times I've went, no, I ain't putting that in my graveyard. Yeah. I have a feeling I'm going to have to pay for that later.
Yeah. I haven't gotten that far, but I'll bet you money you get. Yeah. That's not going to be a free pass when you go down to town for the first time.
Yeah. It's a pretty deep game. There's also choices, perma choices, where you agree to do certain things that lead you down your character's path. There's a place where I've got to make a decision about burning witches and stuff. So you have to make all these moral choices as well that can affect the story and how you progress.
Yeah.
So it's an amazingly deep game for such a silly looking game.
Yeah.
It's silly.
I would say it's a step beyond 16-bit kind of style. It's definitely, there's more color depth and effects and stuff going on here, but at its core, it's animated and moves and looks a lot like some. Oh, very nice. Nice phone call you got there going.
Why? Stop it.
Probably getting some, dude, I got a call the other day that said a telemarketing firm was the
thing
name
that popped up.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm not answering that.
I'm not answering that.
You may as well ask me to put my ween in a live socket. Forget it. Not going to do it.
Live socket. See, and that's what happens in Graveyard Keeper. you're on there and you're on your phone. You're not paying attention. You get hit by a truck.
Yeah, that's right. Spoiler. Ooh, spoiler alert. Yeah, it's a weird beginning in that game. It's very weird.
It is a weird beginning, but it keeps you going because you keep they present things in a way that makes you go, this shouldn't be just casual conversation that I'm having with this disembodied skull that is giving me the instructions, who is asking me to go get beer, by the way.
Right.
He tells you stuff like to skin the corpse, and you do, and then it suggests you go sell the meats of the corpse to the bartender, and you're like, and they sell it like this is perfectly normal. This is not.
Well, then they
sell
they don't, but they don't. The guy at the bar, if I remember right, the bartender guy doesn't know that it's Or does he know?
Exactly. He doesn't know, but he kind of does wink, wink, yeah. Because one of the quests is to go get the equivalent of a USDA sticker stamp.
Yeah.
And once you get the stamp, then you can just like stamp it and go, that's good meats.
All right. It's cemetery keeper. Sorry. Graveyard keeper.
Graveyard keeper. I think it's on everything, Ray. It's on Xbox One, Switch.
It's on everything. You can get this on everywhere.
Android, the PlayStation. You can get it in the Windows Store. You can even get this on Linux and Mac OS. Mm-hmm. It is very portable. It's really good. The developer, Lazy Bear Games, and publisher is Tiny Build Games. I like Tiny Build Games. They're always good things. Matter of fact, I wanted to get the Tiny Build Games bundle this on Steam. I would love, but I don't have that kind of money. What I look like.
I do like games. I'm a fan of this. I'm a big fan of this sort of thing. I do think this game really makes you work for it, which I can't tell if I like that or not. Also, they've updated a lot since I last played, so maybe some of that stuff's tightened up. I don't know, but anyway,
I feel like chat room just said something and it totally blew my mind for a minute. I just got a brand new Samsung smart fridge yesterday, and we were having this little conversation. All of a sudden, I look over in the chat and Sidian says Samsung smart fridge, and I'm like looking in the back. I'm like, can you see my fridge from here?
That's because Sidian is
graveyard keeper could be on anything.
Sidian's a weird dude. He knows things he shouldn't know. I don't know how he knows it. He does this in the chat room all the time. He'll bark something out, and it's either some huge truth bomb that I can't argue with, or it's like this where he's just imagined a thing, and then it happens to be a thing you just bought.
Right. It's like when I go to Amazon, and I'm like, how did you know I just purchased something off Walmart? Freaks.
He's a space lord. I don't know how he does it.
Space lord.
All right. That graveyard game again keeper. Is Graveyard Keeper. Definitely worth getting. Go check it out. Available everywhere.
Everywhere.
Let me tell you about another game I'm following up with. Once again, a game that just gets better and better. And the reason I'm bringing it up again is because I've been playing it multiplayer with my friends.
Oh.
If you're not familiar with the sister show that I do on the network called Core, we have a lot of after game moments in that game or in that show. And, we have been playing For the King in multiplayer.
I played this a few weeks ago, but not multiplayer.
Turns out, dude, we should go two-man it sometimes because the multiplayer is way fun. You basically are running D&D in a weird way. I mean, it's not the same rules, but you're rolling dice. You're kind of playing a combination of a Dungeons & Dragons-style adventure combined with a board game, kind of. There's a lot of board game mechanics on the overworld where you're just sort of making movement rolls and stuff like that. And man, we're having fun with this. Bo, John, and myself played a ton. We're gonna play it again tomorrow night after the show, and it's just as
are y'all on Steam PC or is this on console?
PC? Although PC. I heard somewhere it was cross play, but I don't know if that's actually true.
I see. I'm looking at this. I don't know. Do I have another PC? I may have another PC.
I mean, the PC version is the one. Well, I got it way back when it was very early access and very not finished.
I want to say this is on the Xbox Game Pass for the PC.
It might be.
Let me double check that. You should check.
But that would absolutely be cross play. You don't have to be on Steam to do it. It's very simple and straightforward how you do the multiplayer stuff. You basically roll three characters, decide who you want to be. There's all these classes you can choose, and you head out into the world and you start adventuring and different loot drops, and you kind of pass the loot around and decide who gets what, and you have to try to stick together or else sometimes a fight will happen and one of your guys is too far from you and he will not be involved in the fight because he's too far. There's dungeons to run. Those dungeons play out like a great big turn-based, almost Final Fantasy kind of game down there. Cause it's again, turn-based, you take your guy, you make your shot. Somebody has some good haste. So now they're second and they go, and then they try to kill you or whatever. Like there's just a lot of creative crap going on. One of my favorite things about it is just aesthetically, it's this kind of low poly thing that looks just kind of fun and chunky. And by low poly count, I mean like, I don't know what to compare it to. It's like,
it's like Minecraft. I mean,
sort of, not really though.
Minecraft is low poly. It just has a lot of texturing.
Yeah. And this is it's got a lot of 8-bit texturing. This doesn't do any of that. This is all really smooth and clean, and you know, the textures are high resolution and stuff. So they're not really aiming for an 8-bit or 16-bit motif, but This low poly count thing is one of my favorite looks in games. I think that's a
I think it's very. It reminds me of Armello.
Yeah, a lot like that. Yep, very similar to Armello. In fact, the overworld stuff reminds me a lot of Armello. There's a lot of that going on, and we are having so much fun with it. I just had to recommend it again. It's a hell of a thing for like $15, and all of the or whatever it is. I think it's $15.
For the king!
All the DLC they've ever put out, all the additional story modes and the dungeon to run mode and all this other stuff, totally just for free. You just get it. Yeah, you don't have to go buy any of that stuff. You just pay for the game, and they seem like just rad developers. And
I've been I've been very impressed. Iron Oak Games is the developer, and Curve Digital is the publisher. You can get it on Steam now for $19.99. And if you want to find a way to play with other people, man, they got your co-op, your local co-op, your online co-op, your shared split screen, your online multiplayer, and you can even play single player if you want to. Yep. Full controller support, too, by the way, which is how I played it.
Yeah, you can do, and you can, if you're on the PC, you can switch seamlessly. You can decide mid-game if you want to just start using your controller, and you can. It's not a problem. Mm-hmm. Plays great either way. I prefer mouse and keyboard, but that's just the nature of this game is very, you know. Pick a thing and take your time, and it's not like there's a lot of Twitch gaming going on.
Games and a mouse and keyboard.
Chat room.
Sorry, was that mocking?
No, I liked it. It was a very friendly gesture you just made. You can see these characters right now in this video, live folks. They're watching. They're fighting some bees. There's some bees they got to fight.
Oh yeah, I got in the bee fight a couple of times. I made the mistake early on.
Yeah,
I didn't understand. I didn't understand locations of how it worked. So, like, I would see an enemy, and I was like, okay, I'm going to fight that one guy. Mm-hmm. But I didn't realize that, you know, it was a region. So, mm-hmm. like, if I attack one guy, if there's anybody within so many blocks of that, they also join in on the fight.
Yeah, they'll be in there also. I mean, it does tell you ahead of time when you're mousing over the area, it'll say, but if you're not really paying attention, suddenly there's three extra bats in your fight, and you're like, where the frick did these guys come from?
Yeah. Right.
It's a cool thing. I like it. The Switch version is very tempting to me because I could play this in bed. Speaking of which, okay, so again, that's For the King. I'm playing it on PC. Get it anywhere.
For the King.
Here's a little side note, Switch related. Mm-hmm. Decided to make a business expense payment.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are we getting one of them new Switches?
I ordered a Switch Lite today.
Did you pre-ordered it?
Yeah. Amazon pre-orders went up today. I'm not normally a pre-order guy, except I just want to have it out of sight, out of mind, and just have it show up when it's supposed to. There's no other reason to pre-order.
Well, Amazon pre-orders is good because Amazon pre-order just reserves it. You don't actually pay for it until a certain date, and then it ships. And also, it's got pricing protection so that if it goes on sale for any cheaper between now and then for any crazy reason, you get that.
Right.
You get
that. So, and the other reason I went ahead and did it now is I had, like a lot of the stuff I do, there are things like this and they are business expenses. Like straight up, I need to review this thing. I need to talk about it. Yeah. I need to have it. And still there's a part of me that's like, really? You're going to just throw $199 at this thing? Like, you have a Switch, like what
so
are you doing?
It sounds like so much BS, doesn't it?
It really does, but it's not. And I had to have people, like smart people like Tom Merritt convince me. It was Tom Merritt who talked me down from the tree and said, dude, of course you have to get it. This is part of your work. It's like me having to get, you know, rechargeable AirPods that like sit on the recharge pad instead of plugging it in when I fully have the other kind. I need to be able to speak to these tech changes just like you needed to be able to speak to the game changes. So he's right. And he's totally right. It still feels weirdly guilty when I do it. That's all I'm saying.
Absolutely, because it feels weird because we should never enjoy our business purchases, right? It should all be from a place of rational decision and not from desire necessarily.
It's because you and I were raised that way, and it's hard to shake it because we just live in a different time. But anyway, so I did it, and it's on its way. It'll be here the 20th of, or is it 22nd? Whatever it is, of September. So it's right around the corner, about a month and a half away.
We'll both have new equipment to play with because I did the same thing. I could not justify the purchase of the new Stadia for Google.
Yeah.
But I pre-ordered it on the behest of my fiance who said, fool, order it, review it, and have fun.
Yeah. And call it and make a tax, give yourself a tax break on it.
Right. I don't know if I'll go that far, but I definitely will. It will definitely.
Oh, I definitely will. Everything I buy game related, 100%. gets tax deductible every time.
I'm not to the place where a itemized deduction will do me much good.
Yeah, no, I understand that. That makes sense.
Yeah, so
I try to deduct every damn thing I can, but you know, within the laws deducting of the land. Yeah, I'm very lawful when I do that.
Cat food. I mean, if I don't feed the cats, they're going to bug the crap out of me while I'm working. Cat food.
So that's on its way. Maybe I'll end up playing Ape Out on the Switch, which is what you did. How's Ape Out on the Switch?
Dude, well, okay, first of all, I saw this game. It looks amazing. It is, it's an Angry Monkeys, basically what it is. It's a top-down game, very stylized, and it is just...
Didn't we talk about this last week? We didn't talk about this game last week.
I think I've talked about it, but only in my just a mention. Like, it's like, I want to play Ape Out. So I never actually played it, but I talked about it. So I suggested it because I thought it was really cool. I downloaded the demo.
Yeah.
That's right.
The demo.
Because it's a $10 game, but it's only about an hour and a half's worth of play.
Yeah.
And so I couldn't figure it out. I'm like, let me just play a demo. Just to see, and if it looks like something, I may revisit it, and it may be. I still haven't decided. I've played just about through the whole demo, and it's very simple. I mean, I'm playing on the Switch, and you use your left and right sticks to navigate, and then you use your two little bumpers to grab with one and to throw with the other.
Yeah.
And it's really wild because it's a top down. But you know how usually top down is just like all you really see is just the surface and nothing really comes at you.
Yeah.
Nothing's like in your face.
Yeah.
Well, this game is like it's like you're like on the ceiling of inside of a building. And so everything is all the way full bleed to the edge coming at you kind of like 3D style.
Nice.
And it's just a really cool effect, very stylized. And the whole time while you're doing this, there is this jazz music and jazz crash cymbals kind of going on every time you do something, every time you like grab somebody and throw them, it just feels so good. It's like, ooh, it's so satisfying.
Yeah,
it's very satisfying.
It looks really visceral and fun. How come you leave a trail of orange behind you? Are you pooping the whole time, or what's that about?
Right. So everything is the coloring is stylized as well. So it's like silhouettes from the top down. And so what you're leaving is pool of blood is actually your blood. If you smash a human, it'll leave a spot there. But then if you get shot, and you can take so much damage, you can take so many shots, and there's no like meter or nothing that tells you how bad you are. How you know if you're hurt is if you're leaving little puddles.
Yeah.
And so that's how you know it's like, oh, I gotta be more careful because I'm leaving a lot of puddles.
Yeah.
I'm aping out over here.
Yeah.
And the whole thing is this really loud just experience. This just it's loud visually, it's loud, you know, in your ears. It's just everything is just wide open, full out, monkey apes, ape out.
Seems pretty great.
It is amazing. Yeah. It is an amazing experience, but it's one of those things. It's like, that was really cool, but I only can take about 30 minutes of that.
Yeah. You know,
I need a nap now.
It takes a lot for, I think, a dev to have such an amazing mechanic, but that they can also accept the fact that you can't overstay your welcome with something like this, you know?
No, you really can't. And so I really think it's worth $10. I'm probably going to end up buying it. But I just don't know how I don't know how often I'm going to play it. Just other than I think it makes a great mobile game because, you know, some mobile games usually are. It's like, I want to, you know, play a little Candy Crush. Why? Because it's just mindless fun.
Yeah, but I can't. There's no way they do this for mobile, right?
They can't. It's the perfect format to me was the Switch.
Yeah.
Play on the PC is not good for me because if you're looking at something that is vertical and you're basically looking at something that is supposed to be horizontal in view, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. So when you hold the Switch, it's actually you're like looking down at the Switch and it feels right, you know, it feels right to your mind, at least me.
All right, I'm probably gonna grab it. I've been meaning to anyway. Enough people tell me they like it, so I will get
10 bucks is totally worth it. At least get the demo. I'm telling you, it'll sell you. There's a reason why not a lot of games put out demos. And when they do, there's usually a reason why.
Yeah.
And the demo, it catches you. It really does.
It grabs you right by the noodle.
Right by the short hairy ape hairs.
The short hairy ape hairs. Mmm, tasty.
Mm.
All right. Well, that's awesome. Again, it's Ape Out. And also, you're going to be playing Hard West, is my understanding, on the Switch for next week.
Ah, yes. So I was flipping through the indie games on the Switch, and I saw this game, Hard West.
Yeah.
And I watched the trailer, and the voice work is just so much fun. I don't know how much fun the game is going to be. It's kind of like an XCOM kind of thing where you've got. You know,
XCOM. I have this on PC, totally, by the way. It's a great game on PC as well.
Yeah, and the way they were spinning this tail, mm-hmm. and the voiceover stuff just sounded amazing. So I'm going to get into that. So this is what I'm doing next week.
Yeah, if you guys want to see if you're looking for a game where it's like XCOM style play, but you're in the old West, that's what this is.
Right,
and you
won't show them, you know, you shot my paw moments. This is the game for you. And I think it was on sale like for like $5 or something. Yeah. It was super cheap.
It's super cheap right now. Away. Yep. You should just go get it. Go buy it, play it, enjoy it, rub it.
Rub it, flip it.
Maybe don't rub it
down.
All right, check this out. I got this right here.
It's a me, Mario.
Time for Guess My Game. That's right. Brian and I try to guess each other's games, and we do it with a sound file. In fact, do I go first? I don't remember. I think I do.
You go first, and it's funny because you put the link for mine in your section.
Oh, ignore that. That was just me being dumb. I was copying and pasting. Yeah. I was just being stupid. Here is mine. This is a, let's call this a last 10 years this game came out, let's say. That's your hint.
All right.
And also, it's very ambient and not a lot of stuff goes on, so I'll be really curious if you can get this. But it was a very impactful, popular game and went on to be very successful for the dev, and they have since put out something even cooler. So there's all your hints. I'm going to play it for you now. Here you go.
Please.
No, that's from last week. Shit.
Please.
That was Diablo from last week. Please. Hold on. Here it is. Okay, now. Oh, my gosh, dude. This is killing me. All right, there we go. Here it is.
Yeah, this is a more recent game.
Let's see if the chat room's getting it. Any ideas?
Oh no, it's interesting. I mean, I can tell somebody's walking around like some of that, you know, Foley work.
Some Foley. Chat rooms thinks it's things that are wrong. They're all wrong so far.
Right. Yeah, this kind of like, it kind of reminds me of something like
Folio Fighters. Says Monkey Bananas. Nice one. Oh, Kentucky Fried Computer got it.
Oh, what?
Limbo is the correct answer. Limbo.
That's funny because I was seeing like a first-person kind of stealth game.
Yeah, no,
or
this
a third-person stealth game. Side-scrolling. Wow, yeah. I can hear it now. But yep. Man, that's not what I was visioning the first time.
Their second game, Inside, is amazing. Should be played by everyone. I hope they have some cool third thing in the works. I don't know. But yeah, I love me some.
That was
some
a Limbo. Good one. That's a good one.
Limbo made an impact. Still buy it everywhere. It's still a game you play everywhere. So it's really something, man. That thing's great. All right. Now I'm going to play yours. I have no idea what to expect here. So here goes.
Got no idea.
See what we got.
Year's 1993.
93? Okay. Home or arcade?
This would be for the Y capture from is for the home for your Sega Genesis system.
Ooh, Genesis.
You could also later find this on the NES.
This is being on the NES or Super NES?
The NES, I believe. It was just the NES. It never made it to the Super NES.
All right, that's weird. Okay, hold on.
And it did make it to the Game Boy as well, a little watered-down version.
Is it a Disney thing?
Absolutely, it's got to be a Disney thing.
Oh, I know what it is then. This is Mickey's Haunted Butthole Castle thing.
Mickey's Haunted Butthole. No!
Okay, wait.
Is that your final answer?
No. Let me try one more. Is it the DuckTales one?
No, it is not. It is a property that has recently been live action rebooted.
That was Lion King?
No.
Oh, Aladdin? Was it Aladdin?
Aladdin. There you go, Aladdin.
Oh, you know what? I played the hell out of Aladdin. Why don't I remember that?
This one. I loved this one so much. Favorite Disney property game I've probably ever played.
Yeah, it was good. Now, you know what I screwed up is I should have known it was Aladdin because you said the year, and Lion King didn't come out till 94. So I should have totally known that.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, that I didn't realize how bad of a rendition of those songs, Alan Menken songs, were that it plays it at the very beginning, but it's just kind of.
Let's see if I can get it again. Oh yeah, now I can kind of hear, but it's not great. It's not a great rendition.
Not great.
All right, well,
that was his weakness.
You did really well anyway. All right, we're back, everybody, with an email from a fine listener named Letter Tree. That's a cool name, Letter Tree. Letter Tree. Maybe that's not what they meant. Anyway.
Maybe that's their stationery.
Could be. It says, hey, Scott and Brian, Letter Tree here, and I have a question.
Nope, that's them then.
Is there a game you remember on the Palm Pilot that you loved?
Oh, my God.
Or that you love the most or played the most. I really miss those devices. Signed, Letter Tree. Well, Letter Tree, I'm glad you brought this up. I was a enormous Palm Pilot fan, super user, mega user. Really? I bought too many models. I was way into it. They made a... Do you remember the really thin... And I think it was like the height of that thing, but it was the really thin metal enclosed one. I think it was called the Palm 5. A V. And it was the sleekest, coolest, most badass PDA they'd come up with yet. And the two games I played, it was still black and white. The screen was still black and white. They hadn't gone to any color or anything yet. I think the M and something else were maybe when they went to color. But I played, the two games I played the most on there were kind of, well, one's very obscure. So maybe people have probably never heard of the one I'm about to say. But I played a game called SF Cave. And it was this super simple thing where on the screen, a little line was like going through, like it would start out and it was random every time. So it was never the same, which is part of what I liked about it. It was generated on the fly. But like this big side view of like the inside of a cave, like you're playing like a side scrolling shooter or something. Mm-hmm. But you're just this line in there, and the line drops and had these like kind of natural weight physics. So you had to hold one of the buttons down to get it to go up again, and then it would kind of drop again, and it kind of had this great sort of feel to it. And your goal was to get it as far into that cave as possible. The entire time the cave is shrinking and getting smaller and more tight corners, and you had crazy loops to make and all this sort of stuff. And it got harder and harder and freaking harder until you'd lose. And me and these guys at work would have these constant rivalries about whoever got the best score on SF Cave. And I loved that freaking thing. So it was that in the original, what's it called? Bejeweled, the original Bejeweled, which was black and white and on those things. When PopCap was like three guys or whatever. Those are the two things I spent all my time in. So I love that stuff. How about you?
Right. I didn't play a lot of games in the Palm. I had a Palm Pilot, but I didn't really use it very much. The only games I really played were like old school classic kind of stuff that's like Snake.
Snake.
That was about it. It's like, what can I load on this stupid thing? Snake, all right, I can waste 5 minutes with that. Let's do it.
Oh my gosh, someone found it. All right, so this is an ugly Windows version, but it is kind of the right idea. Do you see that thing JK Grammer put in that link?
Yeah, look at that. He's always good at searching. He's a good searcher. He's a good searcher.
So this isn't exactly it. Mine was black and white, first of all. It's also like less choppy looking, and there was no color.
Is that like a ribbon or a snake?
It's what like a snake ribbon thing. But you would just be tapping the button to keep it up, and if you let go, it would drop like a real physics thing. And you would just go as long as you could, and they had these obstacles up.
You know what this is, right?
What?
This is Flappy Bird.
You know what? It kind of is. It kind of is. No, you're not wrong. Like, that's... I mean, I hated Flappy Bird, but for other reasons.
Oh, yeah.
But you're not wrong. Oh, my gosh. You're totally right, actually.
I mean,
you don't have to tap it, though. You can hold.
Looks a little less frustrating. Flapping Bird was great because 90% of the time you failed within the first two blocks.
Oh my gosh, I think you're not only right, but it may explain why Flappy Bird was so popular, because the core mechanic is a good one. You know,
It is.
Oh, the guy died in this one.
Oh, he totally died like 100 times. I'm sure.
I don't know what version this is. That may have been on some other.
Yeah, and that's in color, right?
Yeah, that's totally wrong. It should be black and white.
That video you sent us, JK, by the way, good find, has 77 views, so now it's going to have about double that.
Yeah, it's awesome. Well done. We've made that guy's day. Hope that answers your question. You didn't say. What'd you play on there?
Snake. Yes,
oh, Snake, you did. Okay.
That was it. I mean, like I said, I didn't play a lot of
When your
games.
Snake died, would you go, Snake? Snake? Snake!
Snake!
Would you do that? No?
No, I just hit reset.
Oh, all right.
Come on. Oh, stupid Snake.
I loved my Palm Pilots in the day. I was so into it. Oh, my gosh. Because that's what you had. I look at it now and I think, oh, how dumb was that? Smartphones have just like completely laid waste to why those were cool. Yeah. But at the time, it was just this. There was a time in the 90s and the very early aughts where I was in heaven with gadgets. I just loved all that shit. Yeah. And I spent way too much money on it. That's the other problem.
We were so excited. We were so excited the potential of what the Palm Pilot could be. That's what I remember. I remember trying different brands. It's like, oh no, you got to get the Palm OS. And I'm like, nah, I want something hackable.
Yeah.
And so I tried a whole bunch of different things.
Yeah. Well, it's good stuff. I recommend it. That's it for your emails. And that is going to do it for the show. Let's see. What time is it? We have time for a couple of giveaways after the show. So chat room, if you guys hang around. We'll do some...
Give it away now.
We'll do some stuff. We'll give away some games, and I've got a better way. The keyword thing turns out to be a much better way to give this stuff away. So we're going to do all of that in a second and have some fun with that. In the meantime, frogpants.com/BOOP is our website. That's frogpants.com/boop. If you are interested in checking out more of what we got going on, 801-471-0462 will get you a voicemail, and you can send us your emails at boopshow@gmail.com. We're on Twitter @boopshow. And our Reddit page is boopshow.reddit.com. Brian's always checking that out, so if you're worried I'm not, he always will be. I think that's it. You got anything else you want to say to impress the people at home with your brand?
Absolutely. I'm working hard on getting my Twitch channel partnership. So means I got to have viewers all at the same time. Mm. So if you get a chance... If you see me pop on twitch.tv/Brian Dunaway, have a chance to just pop in for a minute. I'm giving away space points for free.
Nice.
Loyalty rewards. That's right. It's a lot of fun. Had a lot of fun. And lots of times I play the games we talk about here on the show.
Oh, well, then you can get a little preview of what we're going to talk about next week, which should be a normal Monday next week. Nothing weird about the schedule.
Yeah.
So check us out then. I think that's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, for all of you who listened and watched and came live and checked it out later. We'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I don't like Steam.